Hello, and welcome to EWISE. My name is Sammy, and I'm your host. I'm a registered dietitian who loves listening and sharing stories of the incredible people we surround ourselves with each day. Each of us have a different journey and story to tell, and different relationship with food. Food and drinks are a universal language, and no matter where any of us are in life, we all share the need for food. Our bodies need food to function. Without food, we wouldn't be able to grow, think, or interact with those around us who may not speak the same language. In some cultures, offering food is sometimes all they can do because that's all they have. I personally believe food is meant to bring people together of all walks of life, and it can also influence those around us. So this podcast is all about that, sharing stories of those not so normal humans around us. So join us as we talk to these individuals and those who are willing to put themselves out there to be vulnerable and share their stories. Join us as we post new episodes, and they used to be every week, but now that life is starting to pick up a little bit, I'm going to spread them out to every other week. So subscribe to EatWise Food and Journeys so that you know when a new episode comes out. And you could also follow along at EatWiseRD or on Facebook and Instagram at EatWiseRD. Guys, each episode will tell a different story, but share the common ground of food and or beverages. And yes, we'll include stories of brewmasters, coffee connoisseurs, and your not so average humans, because that's how we roll. And social situations, it's gonna have food or beverages. So we're gonna hear from some really awesome people. Today we'll hear from Hannah Phillips, who is a dietitian for the school systems in Washington. They're doing some incredible things out there, and Hannah has the biggest heart, and I can't wait to share her story. So let's get that ball rolling, and I'll introduce you to Hannah. Hi guys, welcome to this week's episode on EatWise. I am so excited for today's episode as we are here with my friend Hannah Phillips. We have a really amazing relationship. We started culinary school together. Well, didn't necessarily start together, but we ended together in the rain at graduation. We sat outside, and it was an incredible time. And during our time at Johnson & Wales, we just formed this wonderful friendship, and we have kept in contact, and it's been... How long has it been now?
We graduated in 2012, so it's been 8 years.
Oh my gosh. So 8 years ago, we graduated in the rain, and it just shows that you can build relationships and friendships with people in college. And if you just put the time and the effort in, like, that friendship will still be there 8 years down the road, and you'll be traveling all over the United States to visit each other. So it's really awesome. But I'm very excited to share Hannah's story. She has she's moved a few different places, and so she just has a great story. And so we're going to share that with you today. So Hannah, do you want to start us off and tell us about your journey and kind of what even made you want to go to Johnson & Wales?
So I started off with my love for food really came from at a very young age. My grandma and I would always bake pies together. So they lived up in St. Anthony, Idaho, and my grandpa had his family farm, and up on the family farm there was an apple tree. We also had raspberry bushes. My grandpa's an avid gardener, so all the fresh fruits and vegetables you could think of, he participated in the farmer's market and all of those things. So we were always baking pies every summer, and we would bake cherry pies, apple pies, we'd do raspberry cobbler, all of those things. And it formed a really special bond between my grandma and I. We still have that to this day. Every time I go back home, we bake pies together. It's just something that we do, and it's meant a lot to me over the years. And so I think really in high school is where I thought, well, maybe that's something I might want to do in my adult life. So I started in the culinary program, and I did the first class, and I was like, okay, all right, I like this. And then I did the advanced classes in my senior year, and I started doing competitions, cooking competitions, where I went to districts and I won at districts. I won first, and then I went to regionals and I took first in regionals, and then I went to state.
Wow.
And I took second place in state, so we had three people that placed, and that took us to nationals. So we competed in Florida, Orlando, Florida, for nationals, and it was amazing. It was a great experience. And I just really fell in love with that. And so my teacher at the time really encouraged me to pursue culinary. And she had actually gone to training at Johnson & Wales University in Denver.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so she was like, you should totally apply. I loved it there. It was amazing. I learned so much. So I applied to there as well as a school in Baltimore. And you know, it was something I knew I wanted to leave. And so I'm actually originally from Idaho Falls, Idaho. And while I love my family and I loved, you know, everything, like my whole family is there. They've always lived there. I've got generations of family in Idaho. And it's so special to go back and visit and to see everyone. But I knew that I wanted to see more, and I wanted to learn more about different cultures, different cities. And so I had my sights set on moving and leaving Idaho after I graduated high school. So I was accepted to Johnson & Wales University. My mom and I went actually over my prom weekend. I missed my prom so that I could go to visit the Johnson & Wales campus, and I fell in love with it. It was amazing. I just told my mom, I was like, this is like my dream come true. I want to go here. And so my parents made it happen for me, and I am so grateful for their love and support that they, you know, just really gave me that courage to be able to move out of state. I'd never lived anywhere else other than Idaho. I grew up there my whole life. We visited a few places now and then, but really hadn't seen much of the world. So Denver was a culture shock to me. Completely.
So when you first told your mom that you wanted to go to Johnson & Wales, what was her reaction? And not necessarily just JWU, but leave Idaho and move to Colorado, which is kind of close, but still far enough away that you can't go home every weekend. But what was her reaction?
She was supportive, but her and I, my parents divorced when I was younger. So I was about 10 when they divorced. And my mom and I really worked hard together, really in a lot of ways. You know, I was one that really kind of just took on some of the roles of, you know, helping out around the house. And we always, like, she had purchased a house my freshman year of high school. And so her and I essentially worked to do all these home improvement projects to the house. We painted it. We redid the whole backyard. We landscaped. We just worked so hard to make that house our home. And a lot of those things, I think it was really hard for me to leave her and for her to leave me too.
I bet. But
I think that there was so much that she knew that I wanted and that was important for me to be able to explore. And she knew that wasn't something that was going to be available for me in Idaho. And so she was very supportive and, you know, just wanted the best for me. So
yeah, that's awesome. Our moms just play a special role in our lives. And I don't think either one of us would be who we are today if we didn't have such wonderful moms. So shout out to our moms.
Yes, for sure.
So you graduated.
Yes.
We graduated together in the rain. What did life look like after graduation for you?
Oh, life after graduation. I had known I wanted to pursue my dietetic internship, but I hadn't quite figured out where I was going to go yet, or really, I wanted to make sure that I, you know, because I had just graduated, I needed to get a little bit of savings in the bank before starting an unpaid internship for the year. So I decided that I was going to work. And so right after graduation, I started working at the Eating Recovery Center as a line cook. And so that is a eating disorder clinic that provides inpatient and outpatient care to its patients, and I learned a lot there. But I had known that I was only taking that job for a year because I was working on my DICAS application, which is my dietetic internship online portal application that I had to search through and find which internships I was going to apply for, and I just started that. I started it in November, and applications were due in February, and so started my journey through that. I applied for 4 internships, one of which was Idaho State University, which, of course, I had retained my Idaho residency all throughout college. I'm not sure if that was cheating or not, but I did.
And I won't tell.
So that was something that was a bonus when you looked at who they were going to accept, because they would accept in-state residents over out-of-state residents.
Nice.
So that was a bonus.
You figured out how to cheat the system. Worked in your favor.
It did. Okay. So Chef Swanson was like, you definitely need to apply for this program because you probably have a really good shot at it. And there was 8 slots open for the Meridian Idaho internship.
And so for those of you listening, Chef Swanson, she was
culinary chair, culinary nutrition chair.
To complete our degree, we had to do an associate's degree and then a bachelor's in science of nutrition, which also included culinary classes still. So Chef Swanson was head chair of that. She was head honcho, great human, such a kind heart. And if we had questions about DICAS, dietetic internships, she was kind of our guru that we would go to. And so she would kind of give us a little bit of guidance. So back to Hannah getting accepted into her internship.
So Idaho State, I was so grateful to get an interview for them, for the program. And it was nerve-wracking and completely scary because I didn't know what they were going to ask or how it was all going to go. But they accepted me, and I was so grateful. I ranked them 1. They ranked me 1. It was a match. We were good. It's all that matters in DICAS is that you get a match.
So DICAS is an online system for dietetic students to apply for their dietetic internship. And so it's this big, long online process where us as the applicant has to go in there and we have to select our schools, and then we do the DICAS application, and then we have to look and see what each school requires. So some schools will require extra essays or information, or I don't know, whatever they ask us for, we have to give to them. And then we go in and we rate the schools and which ones we would like to have, say 1, 2, 3, 4, and then they go in and rank us based on our material that we've sent in, and you essentially have to match like 1 and 1. Otherwise, you have to wait again for another year. So getting a dietetic internship is a really big thing, and it's super exciting. And Hannah got ranked, and her 1 chose her, and she got to go on to at least do the coursework to become a dietitian.
Yes. So I had been dating my actually future husband at that time, but he was my boyfriend for about a little over a year at that time when I got accepted to my dietetic internship. And I said, well, I'm quitting my job, I'm moving to Idaho, and you're welcome to come with me if you like. And I'm so fortunate and grateful that he did. So we made that journey together and moved to Meridian, Idaho for a year. He'd never lived anywhere else besides Longmont, Colorado, so it was a new experience for him.
For both of you.
Yes.
Kind of.
Definitely.
Especially as a couple.
Yes. So lots of growth happened that year. But I was so grateful. And during my dietetic internship, I learned so much. The program itself was amazing. Ruth, who was our professor during the whole internship, was just such a wealth of knowledge. She did her majority of her dietetic career in community nutrition. And that was something that she really instilled in a lot of us, of just how do you give back to your community too. So we always were working on some kind of volunteer project. I just remember always getting to go to the church that she would volunteer at, and we would be cooking meals for the homeless there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and that was just, it was things that she would pick up from the food bank, and it was whatever it was. Sometimes it was potatoes and milk and some meat that she had got, and she said, you guys just really have to make sure that these are the most balanced and healthy meals that you can provide to this community, because this is the hot meal that they get today. And you need to make sure that it is, nourishing to them and nutritious. That's and you guys cool. are responsible for that. And so we did that over the course of our internship, and that just really, that was very special to me. So I love that, and I love being able to give back to the community. And so towards the end of my internship, my food service rotation was in child nutrition. And so I interned at the Boise School District, and I will never forget that experience. Peggy, who was the director there at the time, she was a RD herself, and she had 5 other RDs that worked under her, which was kind of rare in the school nutrition field to have 6 RDs on staff. That's not common.
That's a lot. For
it is.
How many school districts?
So that size school district was the second largest. They had 48 schools. So
that's a lot of schools.
It is a lot of schools, yes. So they were a large school district. However, that makeup of a management team was still very rare to find. So I was so fortunate. I learned so much from that team, and so grateful I was able to do my internship there. I had kind of, was trying to figure out where I wanted to go. And once I did my internship with them, I was like, this is it. This is where I'm going. This is what I want to do as a dietitian. I want to be in school nutrition. I fell in love with it. So when I graduated my dietetic internship, those were the jobs I was looking for. Everyone had told me, you really should get, clinical experience. And I said, I just did not enjoy clinical. Like, well, even if you didn't enjoy it, you really should just do it for at least a year, get it under your belt, and then figure out what else you want to do. As hard as it was to not take advice like that, I just knew that wasn't something that I felt fulfillment from. Sure. And I felt fulfillment from working in school nutrition, working to help feed nutritious meals to students, and especially reaching those that might not have the best quality nutrition. Or what I just loved was the relationships that those students develop with the staff in the cafeteria, and how special that is. And that is the one smiling face sometimes that they get to see every single day. We're not in charge of discipline. We're not in charge of, all of those types of things, teaching you how to read if you're frustrated with reading. No, we're there to help nourish your belly and to put a smile on your face and sometimes tell you a funny joke.
Oh, I love that. That's so special.
Yes.
And so do you think you had more of a pull towards food service and especially schools because of your culinary background? Or do you have you ever thought about that?
I actually was very resistant to it when I was accepted into my dietetic internship. I was like, I'm going to be in community nutrition. Like, this is what I want to do. I thought, you know, WIC nutrition or some kind of outpatient dietetic facility, something along those lines. When I had thought of food service nutrition, I was really thinking hospital. And I had worked in a hospital when I was younger and just didn't feel, you know, home for me or what I would feel fulfillment from. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I had kind of X'd off food service. I was like, been there, done that. I don't think so. But I had never seen the school nutrition side of it. And it's unlike anything else.
Cool.
There's a new challenge every day. And I think the children part of it is key for me. It's just a need that I see, and I know that I'm making a difference. And that's what was so important to me when finding a job was, will I make a difference, and how will that impact the lives of others?
Aww.
And that for me is very fulfilling, and I needed to find that in a job. So, when I started looking, I found a job in Pueblo, Colorado. And so that's after I graduated. My husband and I, well, boyfriend at the time, we knew that we wanted to relocate back to Colorado.
So you Pueblo know. Was at the top of your list?
I had never heard of Pueblo before. But it was in Colorado. So I was like, how different could it be?
Yeah.
So I didn't really do a lot of research, before we moved. I just fell in love with the, job itself. It was a brand new position, so they had never had an administrative dietitian on staff, in a position, for that district. The director of Pueblo City Schools was a dietitian herself. But she had created this position called an administrative dietitian. And that position oversaw menu planning, inventory controls, also special diets, and then wellness. So those were really the main focuses of this position. And that was something that I really wanted to learn more about. And it also contracted with the county of Pueblo School District. And they wanted some help in their wellness and special diets. So off we went to Pueblo.
And you were there for how long?
4 years. So I began there in 2014 and I left in 2018. And over the course of those 4 years, I learned so much. Jill Kidd, who is the director at Pueblo City Schools, she actually is retiring at the end of this month, was an amazing mentor and friend, and I really valued all of her knowledge that she was willing to share with me. So she really had an amazing outlook on school nutrition and a real passion to get things done. And that's what I really admired about her. She was extremely involved, had been in the National School Nutrition Board multiple times, and just really had a passion for legislation, which drives a lot of what we do.
Yeah.
And she was, you know, advocating a lot for changes and advancements to our program that were desperately needed. And just a really, really an amazing person. I learned so much from her, as well as she introduced me to countless people. So I had found that networking, I had found that she had introduced me to so many people and really instilled that networking is how you will learn and advance and make the most meaningful connections with people.
Yeah. Networking is huge.
It is. She took me to many conferences. We traveled.
I remember all you over. Always going somewhere.
I was. And that was really thanks to her. We were avid in taking any kind of educational opportunity that we could. We went to multiple conferences. There was an annual school nutrition conference every year. In the summer, we would go to. So I went to Salt Lake, as well as there was one in Texas. We went to another one in.
Did you go to Vegas for one?
I didn't go to the Vegas one.
Okay.
But we went to Washington, D.C. I went to Washington, D.C. a couple different times for a few different conferences. And then just being able to, we went to New Orleans as well.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
Louisville, Kentucky. So there was so many different opportunities that I was provided so many educational opportunities in Pueblo, and I think all of those opportunities were invaluable. Anyone out there listening, you need to really take advantage of any educational opportunity that's presented to you. You never know where you might need it or who you might meet there.
Or turn down a job opportunity in some place that may not be Palm Springs, right?
Exactly. Pueblo, the districts themselves, Pueblo City Schools was 78% free and reduced. So that means that our economy was very poor. We had a lot of struggles in that way. That, I think, is what really drove my passion as to why I was there and what an impact I was helping to make in that district. Those kids needed us as much as we needed them.
Aww.
We were there to, you know, provide as many meal opportunities as we could. That was something that when I started there, we were providing breakfast in the classroom, lunch, fresh fruit and vegetable snack program, so that was an afternoon snack, and then we were providing at-risk supper program, so that was after-school activities and enrichment activities that accompanied with a dinner meal.
Oh, that's cool.
And so during my time there, supper program and the fresh fruit and vegetable program is what I really focused on growing. So I started with 4 supper sites, and when I left, I had 17. And wow. We had been serving about 3,000 meals over the course of the year in that supper program to begin with. And when I left, we were projected to serve over 40,000 meals over that year.
Wow.
So just, you know, being able to reach more children and being able to grow those programs, we were on multiple community boards. So I was part of some of the health department food advisory councils, which looked at how we could help different areas in our community that were considered food deserts. So we worked with the economic development and planning, which they helped us map out where grocery stores were in relationship to these communities and where might the closest grocery store be for some of these communities that it's walking only. And is there walkable paths to a grocery store? And often there wasn't. The closest ones happened to be just convenience stores. So what we did was we applied for grants and helped some of those grocery stores to be able to put in some refrigeration and rework their grocery store layouts to provide healthy, fresh foods for those communities. How do you provide, you know, more fruits and vegetables or other options for some of these families that might only make it to the grocery store twice a month, but go to the convenience store, you know, every few days?
Yeah, that's something I think when you live in a bigger area, you don't think of that luxury of just being able to go to the grocery store or having a car and being able to drive to the grocery store and pick up groceries, and how there are these food deserts and sometimes it is hard to get groceries. And that's awesome. It shows that a dietitian does more than just behind the scenes push vegetables. They do so much more.
Yes.
So you talk about this position in Pueblo with such passion, and you have such a kind, caring heart that I love it. But you also talk about it in the past, present. So what are you doing now? What made you leave?
So I had known, and I had always talked to, you know, Jill about, I want to be a director one day, you know, and what are the skills that I need to be able to successfully do that. In my role as an administrative dietitian, I had a lot of experience in program oversight and starting up new programs and those types of things, purchasing. But I didn't have any supervisory experience. I didn't have anyone that was a direct report. So I really needed to expand my knowledge and get in that supervisory experience. So my husband was graduating from college, and his job prospects were not very prevalent in Pueblo. And so we had decided that we were going to move to the Seattle, Washington area. And while that was scary and a big change for us, we knew that's what we needed to do. And when I was looking for my next career change, I needed to be looking in supervisory roles. So that's what I started to do, was look at supervisor positions. So I began applying in the Seattle area, and I landed a supervisor position in a very large school district in the Seattle, and it was a position that really challenged my resiliency. And it was something that, over that course, I stayed in that position for 6 months, and over the course of those 6 months, I learned that if I am not truly happy and satisfied in my job, it can affect so many different parts of your life. And that's what it did to me. I was very unhappy and I struggled to find why I was doing what I was doing. And there was many aspects to that. The managers that I was overseeing and supervised, I have great respect for, and I truly learned a lot from them, and it was so hard to eventually tell them that I was moving on to a different position, because I had really formed a very strong relationship with them in the professional sense, and just had a really difficult time leaving them. But in the midst of it, I just had a lot of challenges in being able to continue on in that role in the way that it was. So what I did was I looked for a similar, I knew I still needed that supervisory experience. I still needed to be able to have that on my resume and be able to gain those skills. So I began looking for another food service supervisor position in the Seattle area in school districts, and I stumbled upon Shoreline School District. So I had applied, and oddly enough, it was just the right timing, because I was kind of at my breaking point in my other job, and this position opened up. I applied for it. I received an interview. I received a second interview. They offered me the job, and I gladly accepted, and then gave my resignation to my former job. I gave even that job, time. I worked to try and give them a transition plan and help to train my replacement and anything that I could, because I didn't want to see them, struggle or have more challenges and difficulties than they already were. It was going on. I wanted the best for them. I just knew that that's not a place where I could grow. Something that you really have to evaluate in your own career is, when you're in a position and you truly are unhappy and not learning and growing. And I think that's what just had me so kind of defeated in that time, was that I didn't see a way for me to be able to grow and advance in that position.
And that's, I think that's also awesome that you were able to acknowledge that and able to say that I personally need something more. And I think that's awesome that you did that, and you had the courage to move forward and find that one thing that's going to challenge you and help you be a better professional.
Yes.
Even though it was hard.
It was extremely hard.
I remember you calling me and just saying that you just needed something. You were missing something and you just needed more.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm proud of you for doing that and finding that.
Thank you. And I am so happy that I found Shoreline School District and I am where I am today. I've been there for a year and a half now, and I am so grateful. The team there is amazing. It's a completely different school district system than I am used to in Pueblo. There's lots of different models that school districts use for their food service departments, and so this is a central kitchen model, which I never had the opportunity to work in before, and I'm so grateful I do now. Pueblo was a production kitchen system, meaning that you have multiple production kitchens that ship out to school sites. In the central kitchen model, you have one central kitchen that ships out to all sites, and that central kitchen often, well, in our case, is not a running school, so its sole purpose is to receive and ship out food. And so that is something I'm very grateful for, and we just have a lot of, new and different opportunities in Shoreline that I didn't get to experience in Pueblo. Shoreline is a more affluent district, about 24% free reduced, so that's a drastic change from Pueblo. But those come with different challenges and different, experiences that as a more affluent district. There's less funding that goes with an affluent district. So Pueblo, you were qualified for all the grants and you qualified for all of the programs. That's not the case in Shoreline. You've got to be a little bit more creative and, you know, really have to figure out how to tell your story well and tell grantors as to why their money will be best used in Shoreline and how those students will benefit and really utilize those funds to the best of our abilities. So those types of things are a little different, but I have been so grateful to work for Jessica, and she is an amazing director. She is also a dietitian, and I am just very grateful to be where I am today.
That's awesome. So you have school nutrition has so many moving parts that it's not just the cooks in the kitchen. There's so much work that goes on behind the scenes, and Hannah works day in and day out, and she has such a kind and caring heart, and she's always worrying and feeding all these other children that are attending school, but she also is expecting a little kiddo of her own, and so that's, I'm really excited to see the little guy and see how she is as a mom, because she's going to be a great mom. But you having a school nutrition background and a love for food and culinary, what do you plan to teach your little guy as far as food and involving him in meal prep? And
in your dietetic internship, you often learn a lot of fundamentals about how to counsel women, especially pregnant women and young mothers, on different food philosophies and education for how to introduce foods, how to involve your child in cooking, how to do all these different things, all these different philosophies about, you know, divisions of responsibility and all of these things. So now I just have all these things flowing around my head of how will I instill that in my little one. In all the mini WIC sessions that I attended and was a part of, to be able to now put that into practice for my own life. So for me, it is very important to have my little one involved in, you know, food selections and meal prep, and I just really want them to enjoy food.
That's awesome. Like,
you know, fruits and vegetables, but I want them to enjoy all foods, and I want them to have, you know, a really good relationship with food.
A good, healthy relationship with food. Yeah.
Yes. And so that's something that is very important to me. And, you know, so I will definitely be reading up on more of the Ellen Satter books and all of those things as we worked through in our dietetic internship. That's what I remember. It's hilarious to think about it now, but I'm excited to put those into practice, and I'm just excited to teach my little one all of the things that I love to do.
And teach him how to bake pies like you and your grandma did?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So we have an apple tree in our backyard. We just purchased our first house.
Oh, so exciting.
So that brings back so many good memories for me of making apple pies with my grandmother. So that's something that I really do plan to do with my son, and just able to, you know, share my passion and love for food and anything that he wants to learn as well. But I think that that's something, you know, family meals around the dinner table and helping to prepare the food and take care of, you know,
That's big.
Important. So
there's such a lack of knowledge these days on just how to cook some foods and how to cut foods, and it's crazy and incredible.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, and I know that being able to involve the, especially young children, in, you know, getting to choose out different foods, you know, being able to get to choose out a vegetable of the night, or and being able to get to prepare that. How do you wash it? How do you cut it? Yeah. How do you prepare, you know, does it go, what's it taste like raw? What's it taste like cooked?
Yeah.
What's it taste like roasted? Like, all of these things.
Yeah.
And how, and being able to get them to try it and try it again and again and again and again. Because sometimes it can take up to 20 times.
Yeah. Like, okay, so if you're listening and you have a kiddo who does not like a certain food, you have to put it in front of them more than once. Whether it's peas and you put 3 peas in front of them, the more you expose your child to that said food item, the more they're used to it being in front of them, eventually they will try it.
Yes.
Eventually. But you just got to be persistent with the little guy or girl.
Yes. But that's something that, you know, is important to me, as well as, you know, family style meal service. So, you know, helping to allow them to portion their own plates and choose what they want to eat. That I think is pretty important. And
so what if they don't choose a fruit or vegetable?
We'll continue to offer it. We'll continue to show it and encourage it. But I think that will be something that I definitely changed from my childhood. I love my parents dearly, and I think they did a great job, but Clean Your Plate Club will not be a method or something that we practice in our household.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy how you get to choose how you raise your child once you have one, and you can kind of change the rules, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. Well, as we start to wrap up, this is something that I'm asking all of my guests on Eat Wise. What is one thing you are incredibly grateful for? And you can say over the past week or the past month, whatever it may be.
I think something that I've been truly grateful for is my staff at school. So I've been going through, of course, COVID-19, and we live in the Seattle area. So we were one of the first areas to be quarantined, and all of our schools shut down in March. So March 12th was all of our schools down, and my staff worked tirelessly to feed our community.
So you guys, they
worked
fed
on the front lines and fed our community. School was shut down one day. We opened up our first emergency feeding site the very next day. We had people that said, yes, I want to work. Yes, I feel this is important. And we had a full of staff that just worked so hard. They worked all the way through their spring break. They didn't take a spring break. They worked all the way up until June 19th.
Wow.
And fed our community. And now we continue to feed them through summer feeding. And they have not lost their passion. They have not lost their momentum to do this. They are the strongest, most dedicated, kindest people. And I am so grateful for them and that I get to be a part of that team. So
that's awesome.
Yes.
Well, thanks, Hannah. Thanks for being a guest on this podcast and sharing your journey and your story and just putting your heart out there and being thankful and grateful for everyone that helped you along your journey, whether that was a mentor or your staff. So just thank you for your time and being willing to be vulnerable and open up your life to us.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate this opportunity, and I'm so excited for you and to see what your life brings in the next chapter. So I've always admired everything and all the risks that you've taken throughout your career and journey. So it's very inspirational to me.
Oh, well, thank you. All right. And that's a wrap. Hannah doesn't have a business or social media account to follow, but definitely keep her in your mind and prayers as you go throughout your daily normal life. She's one human doing some really awesome and incredible things for a bunch of little humans.
Thanks for listening to Hannah's story. And until next time, go do something awesome. Go do some volunteer work. Go tell someone you're grateful for them. Send somebody a letter or a card. Do something that will put a smile on somebody else's face. And subscribe to this podcast so you'll know when the next episode comes out. So thanks for being here. Thanks for being around, listening, being great humans, and have a phenomenal week.